If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
TheRightStuff.biz.
Hello. Oh my God, I'm back again. Please, you've made it this far into the show and you still haven't shut this version of it off, deleted the file in anger, and gone over to TheRightStuff.biz/paywall to create a subscription and get rid of this nonsense. Please, do so. We'll both be happier for it.
Welcome to The Daily Show, 1156.
Jewish Apocalypse.
It is the Jewish Apocalypse. Daily reminder. Aaron Bushnell did not commit suicide. His was not a death of despair. He was not mentally ill. He had achieved a moral clarity that none of us can really aspire to in any way, shape, or form. Just want to put that out there.
Yeah, we just leave that out there. We don't need to discuss it again. We've ranted about it enough. But
not a death of despair.
But
not a suicide.
We did have this issue.
This is kind of loud still, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Go ahead. We saw once again why Aaron Bushnell was correct to strike this blow against evil yesterday morning when I woke up to the news that the Jews had opened fire on Palestinians seeking food at aid trucks. And
Halil Fold told me that didn't happen, that they just trampled each other.
Oh, my mistake then. Excuse me.
Well,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, from the reporting,
yeah. Fact check.
The reporting that I saw was like there was a stampede. Some people died, and there was, like, IDF gunfire, but all these things, they just kind of all happened independently.
Like, none of these,
like, are any of these linked? There's no link, really.
Yeah, we wouldn't really want to jump to conclusions and assume there was any linkage between the gunfire and the stampede.
It's like mysterious, you know, strike fire explosion.
Yeah.
It mysteriously sent lead in the direction.
Correlation doesn't equal causation, Goy. Somebody said that yesterday on Twitter. I died laughing. But it's true. If you think about it, like, you could shoot, and a bunch of people could run, but prove to me those two things are linked. Right? Like, just prove to me that, you're
sharing. Sorry, I'm sharing screen.
Alex couldn't see us, and you hadn't shared the screen. I don't know. Are those things definitely linked?
Yes.
Okay.
There is a link.
Oh, all right.
Like, podcaster, there's a podcaster who can't see what's on the show, and there's also a podcast co-host that didn't share with him the stream link that's to see what's on the show. They definitely correlate.
Yeah, these two things happen at
once.
I'm not sure if they causate. I don't know if they causate. Yeah, I don't know if the shots causated the stampede. No, it's funny, though, because this is essentially what Jews were trying to say. Yeah.
I'm trying to get some like unbiased news coverage on this.
Oh, I want to read biased news. I want to watch hysterical Jews doing a bad job of lying about what's going on. Mm-hmm. Like that lady is like, see, Israel, the lady you were playing.
Oh my God,
Israel. See, so Israel wants to feed the Gazans. It's like, shut the fuck
I was
up.
Like, yeah, that's when
no
I turned.
At that point, Israel wants to bomb the Gazans.
At that point, I turned
Israel
it
wants
off.
To ethnically no, cleanse the Gazans. No, like they don't want to.
They literally have Israelis protesting the fact that food is being delivered constantly.
Yeah, they have Israelis that are like they're doing like the Rachel Corrie bit of like throwing their body. Except instead of throwing their body in front of a bulldozer that's trying to destroy a family home, they're like throwing their body in front of aid trucks trying to bring food to a starving population. Yeah. I mean, that's what they'd be doing. So
the other thing is like you have to just be willfully ignorant of geography. Like they've got them encircled. If they don't allow in aid trucks, they starve to death because they have them encircled.
Right. Right.
And the Jews are like, "What are you talking about? This is what it's a war. We're winning." And that's the shot.
Well,
you know?
they'll take any argument that they need. Like, they just want to confound your thought process and get you to waste cycles. And that's why in the middle of that Jewish woman's video, I was just like, all right, I'm turning this. Like, I'm not wasting. This is bullshit. Like, she's saying, oh, we want to. And she was doing. Now, one thing I should have analyzed more that woman was doing, because I listened to that bit again this morning. What she was saying, and this is Jews just generally do this, but this is a good example. She was saying, like, you need to learn how propaganda works. And then she proceeds to lay out, she does propaganda that's like laying, supposedly it's like meta propaganda, right? Like, I'm doing propaganda by telling you how propaganda works, but I'm just pointing at the people whose propaganda I don't like. So she's also doing it. But the thing is, she was doing it in a way that was like bait for rightoid midwits, because she's doing the whole thing of like, that like you believe in oppressor and oppressed categories. So when something bad happens to the so-called oppressed category, you think it's the oppressor category. I'm like, this sounds very similar to like cultural Marxism or wokeness that she's critiquing. You know what I mean? And so it's like, okay, you're tapping into that. You're tapping into that previous rightoid programming on that. And then saying like, but if you don't, you know, but when you critique the people you think are oppressor, you're not looking at the real oppressor. We know who the real oppressor is. Like, right, it's Democrats, right? Because that's what she's tapping into. It's like Palestinians, Democrats, like the Palestinians are victimizing the Palestinians. You know, it's the whole thing. Like, so I was just like, yeah, I know how propaganda works, Jew, and you're doing it right now. And frankly, like, this is just such midwit shit. It's like, nah, do the Grug thing. Like, no, like, Jews are wanting to kill these people, and a bunch of them ended up dead. And, of course, Jews go after places where food is served. Yeah. Like, they were doing this in the beginning. They were bombing the flour deliveries from the UN because, yep, you know, the basic thing that they're going to survive on is just, like, shitty bread because it's easy to make and it gives you some calories. And so, like, they're just trying to bake, like, large amounts of bread for huge amounts of people, and the Jews are just, like, bombing the places where this happens.
There's a choice quote from our favorite guy, Matthew Miller. We are urgently seeking additional information on exactly what took place.
Dude, do we have a press conference video of this faggot? I want to watch this faggot like get questions about this from foreign journalists.
Or is this is the Palestinian? Well, I don't hear anything. Oh, I have the tab muted. Okay.
All of the Israeli occupying army. And people went, and my understanding that every few days, a number of trucks with flour and sugar and maybe basic necessity of life would make it to that place where people take some sustenance of life. This time they did the same thing. It seems that they were large in number, thousands. And then all of a sudden the Israeli army started firing at them and shooting. And according to the information that we have, dozens of them have bullets in their heads. It's not like, you know, firing in the sky to restrain people if there was confusions and chaos. It was intentionally targeting and killing. And the number that...
Why is the IDF there at all where these people are getting there? Like, what, like...
You fire your guns in order to prevent chaos and confusion?
Yeah,
what?
See, he's kind of like, that's a Palestinian ambassador to the UN. And I think here's what's actually going on. And this is, I think, what Jews are getting angry at. But again, I don't really blame the Palestinians for doing it. Is that they're saying, like, literally, I saw a headline on Times of Israel yesterday morning that was like, we only shot 10 people.
Yeah. It's like, no, that's 10.
That's
too many.
Enough. I'm sorry. If you have, but see, the thing is, like, yes.
Why are you there at all?
Why are you there at all?
Why is it? Why
only shot 10 people?
Why aren't there, like, UN blue helmets, like, right, running down, like, oh, invading Israel and so, wrapping up this tiny little desert army of like, diaper bound fucking, yeah, like genetic mistakes who are trying to just, like, harass and slaughter people while they're trying to get bags of flour.
But no one questions that, like, over 100 died and, like,
it's
700
so bad,
or so.
It's so bad that, like, yeah, John Stewart has to try to pretend that, like, he's not happy about it,
yeah,
for his audience.
Yeah, he has to do a bit. But he has to do a bit that, like, of course, leads you to zero conclusions. But
no, he does a bit where it's, like, the story still moves forward. He just kind of makes fun of it a little bit as it happens.
Yeah, he just mocks, like, people that are trying to, like, yeah, he just makes fun of people. And so what the Jews are doing is they're like dissecting what, yeah, this guy, like, it wasn't dozens, it was 10. Look, dude, also I would say this guy, if the Jews shot, even if they just shot up in the air, people would have started running. They're, like,
that's even worse.
You know what I mean? So it's like,
If you shoot up in the air, you have to come down someplace. Bullets don't disappear.
True, but my point is that people, that would have instigated a stampede,
of
right?
Of course. Shooting at us.
I don't know of a de-escalation technique that involves firing your guns.
Yeah, right, no, right, right.
De-escalate. Yeah. I start shooting my gun.
And they literally, the Jews literally said that there was a headline, Jake Shields was making fun of this, there was a headline that literally said that the Jews were like, the army, the Jewish army soldiers that were there, like, became frightened. by the Palestinians trying to get food. And I'm like, I actually, like, on some level, I'm willing to believe that. Well, they're frightened of the prospect of them getting food. But also, like, they probably just were frightened of them because they're a bunch of fucking pussies. So, yeah.
Sorry, I just got distracted by a topic we're doing later.
Oh, yeah, we can talk about that.
I saw something funny. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like the... It just doesn't even feel real anymore. Like, that Israel doesn't receive any of the condemnation that does. We live in this country where...
Well, Israel gets a lot of condemnation.
Well, not from anywhere that matters. Like, they don't get any condemnation that matters.
No, right.
They don't suffer. They just keep getting their way.
They keep getting away.
Nation states might complain a little bit, but like we need to stop them.
Yeah, yeah. And if there's a war on Lebanon, like we're just going to get involved in that. Like the Jews are already talking about how they're going to invade Lebanon because the one thing I'll say, the Lebanese, they're not like invading Israel, but they're also they don't stop shooting missiles and rockets at Israel.
This will be a test of like. Of like Putin, because I love what Putin's been doing. He's been like,
yeah,
you know, Putin's been fighting international Jewish power while claiming to be denazifying it, which is just hilarious. It's like it's so based, it's funny. So this would be like, I was like, are you going to stand up for these other allies of yours if that if Israel crosses that line? Like, you got to step it up a notch. You can't just keep.
Yeah,
you have like, you have the hardware. You have like, there's a whole fucking.
There's
a whole stack of allies there. Need to take real military action.
I have an opinion
Israel.
On that, and it's you're not going to like it. But
what is that?
I actually think that, and again, I could be wrong about this, and I understand from like Russia's perspective why they would do this, but it feels like short-term thinking. That I think that on some level the Russians are holding the Iranians back a little bit. Like, I'm not
that
sure,
could be.
But I keep seeing, here's why I think this. I keep seeing, because I watch Russia shills, because really, if you want information on the Russia-Ukraine war that's not, like, retarded or weird, like, seething and copy, like, you just don't get it in America. What happens if you follow it by listening to Russia shills, you understand that they're Russia shills and maybe put that filter on a little bit, but then you see that, like, weeks and months later, the Western media like catches up and starts like saying the same things. Like this has been my experience throughout the whole war. So they're basically giving pretty accurate information. But I also see whenever they start talking about the Middle East, they talk about how America and increasingly they used to just say America and they wouldn't ever tell you why America was always fucking with Iran. Now they have to bring up Israel and they kind of pussyfoot around the topic a little bit, but they continually praise Iran and Hezbollah, which they openly admit is an Iranian proxy, for like restraint, and they say what Israel is doing is like an extreme level. They literally say this. They say Israel is doing like an extreme level of provocation to try to ignite a regional war, and we like praise the Iranians for like not taking the bait. And I'm like, but hold on a second. This extreme level of provocation is a genocide of a people,
right?
At some point, you have to take the bait, you know? And so it's like, I get from Russia's perspective why that would be better because you don't want to, because from their perspective, it's like, hey, they're winning in Ukraine.
Yeah. But
they don't want, like, widening that to now, okay, now there's this big Middle East war and the Iranians are involved in that. We like the Iranian resources helping us in Ukraine. And this could widen out into a larger thing. Like, it could be numerous countries involved. And, like, that would be a very unpredictable outcome. We don't know what would happen there. Now, one thing that's funny is in that situation, Europe has been largely demilitarized.
Right.
One, because they were relying on America, and two, because they've sent all their... They've demilitarized themselves, sending all their gear. Like, the country of Denmark, which is a tiny country, but they have no military equipment in Denmark. Like, at all. There's no tanks, no guns... Like everything, no artillery, every single piece of larger probably than a rifle, military hardware has been sent to Ukraine. Anyway,
that's pretty funny.
So from the Russian perspective, it's like, yeah, because they also know this will bring America in full force, right? Because they're not stupid. They understand the relationship that Israel, like all these countries, they know. Like Vladimir Putin is not like in the dark that Jews are running America.
Right.
The question is, he's like, how do I deal with that?
Right.
And so... So
they have to all act together on the same page for it to work.
Right.
Right.
And that's the only way you're ever going to beat Jews.
So
right?
if they're holding out Iran right now. Like,
and if something
sense.
Like that happens, frankly, then everyone's saying in America, like, what do we do? What do we do? How do we organize? What do we do? I'd say, well, you frustrate their efforts any way you can. Like in America, you politically frustrate them. You tell people like that are trying to sign up for the military that they're faggots. You physically restrain them from doing so. Like, I don't know. You just anything you can do in America, like your job, there will be just a pen. I'm not suggesting like anything.
I can't imagine.
I'm just saying
that
like,
anybody would go signing up to fight in that.
No, like once there's a hot
it's
war,
not gonna
like,
work.
Then they're really
like,
going to
this
start
is like
having
this is a war
shortfall.
For Israel, guys.
Yeah,
do you want to die for Israel? Like, yeah. It would be that war would be wearing it on its sleeve. This is a war about Israel.
So.
Stop blaming Russia. This is about Israel.
Right. So I get that, like, it's really frustrating, and I do think on some level possibly, and also there's other things that the Russians, somebody said in the comments to my show last night, well, now, because Ukraine, the Jew ambassador to the UN went and openly declared Israel's full support for Ukraine 2 days ago. Like, they haven't done that yet,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He basically crossed that Rubicon, and he gave a little speech about it, and he said, and he gave all the material, he listed all the material aid that they're giving. I think this was done for two reasons. One, it's because of Putin is actually hosting, like, a Hamas and Islamic Jihad and other Palestinian groups.
Yes, I'm very happy about that.
And then, additionally, I think that's like another play for some kind of like libtard public opinion in America, which I don't think they're going to be able to. If any play is going to work, that's going to be it, though. Like, if there's anything that might get libtards somewhat to sympathize, it will be Israel being an anti-Russia force, right? Because they're really triggered by Russia because they think it's associated with Trump. The problem is Trump is also heavily associated with Israel. So
associated shit.
No, I know. Directly I know. This is the problem. So it's like if you associate Israel with Ukraine,
it's like if you want to like describe how Joe Biden works for Israel, you have to do a little bit of homework, and you have to do some kind of have to get out the whiteboard and do that meme. With Trump, you just this guy works for Israel, and he tells you he does all the time.
Yeah, he
and
tells his, you he's
his
the king
entire of Israel. And his entire fucking presidential term, all he did was accomplish things for Israel.
Well, when he said he was like the king of Israel, like the Jews that are in charge of like the libtard flock in America, like started desperately painting that as like an anti-Semitic comment. And it's like, it's really not.
Well, he's not the king. He's just like, he's the king of the Shabbos.
Yes.
But he was like, he's your top guy. He's not king of anything Israeli. He's just like, he's their top man in America, like getting diplomatic work done.
So that's kind of a funny little position because it's like if you're going to start liking Israel because they're saying we're supporting and associating ourselves with Ukraine and you like Ukraine and you hate Russia because you were propagandized 7 years ago that Donald Trump is a Russia shill. And that's why, like, let's be honest, that's why libtards are taking this position. Like, that's why they're so invested in it, because they were propagandized during the 2016 election that Trump and Putin were in cahoots, and so that's why they hate Putin. There's not really any other reason, because before that, liberals were not big Putin haters. They're Putin haters because they think that he put Trump in president. And so, like...
which is the funniest thing.
Which is very funny. So then it's like, okay, but you know who really put Trump in president, libtards? It was Jews. It was Israel. So, again, there's all these confounding factors, but... anyway, I think that there might be some hesitancy there. And also, frankly, the Iranians might themselves also be... I mean, if you think about it, these groups that have their territory, it's like a tough thing because it's like, well, once we open up this front, then we're going to get hit hard because that's inevitable that will happen. So, I mean, the Jews basically try to deter Hezbollah by saying, well, if Hezbollah attacks us, we're just going to like kill people in Lebanon. I mean, that's what they do. They've been doing it. They've been doing it recently. They're bombing Lebanon every day.
Yeah.
Every day they're bombing it. They might as well be at war, but the war is only restricted to the border because there hasn't been an invasion either way yet.
It's a kind of like
to invade Lebanon.
It's kind of like the American like gay op war, where like you're just constantly engaged at a low level with something,
right?
You know, except they don't have to do it via proxy. You know?
Well, right. The thing is, in the conflicts that are directly on Israel's border, not only do they not do it by proxy, they kind of can't.
Oh,
because that gives everything away. Like, you can't have... I mean, Aaron Bushnell, supposedly people are saying, I don't know how true this is, I've heard it, though. I'm not saying it's true, but I've heard it. that he released intelligence that said that, in fact, there were, like, Americans in Gaza. And, like,
sure,
frankly, I would not be surprised if there were.
There, I mean, how many cops and how many people go over to Israel from America for, like, some kind of anti-Semitic training?
Yeah.
Like, it's like we constantly have.
What's so funny about that is that is always characterized as they're going over, like, they're, oh, Derek Chauvin got the knee on the neck training, whatever. That's true, but what's really going on there is that American...
Did you know that the rightstuff.biz is 100% listener-funded? The only reason you're hearing this right now is because you're only getting half the show. There's so much content you're missing, and you'll never hear these ads again if you get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall.
People in America that are trained to use force, like cops and soldiers, they go to Israel not to receive training in IDF tactics, but to receive ideological training. To receive training in, like, not being an anti-Semite. Like, that's why they're really there. Like, the cops that go there, like, sure, they'll interact with Israeli cops and they'll do, here's a wrestling move or a chokehold, something like that. But generally speaking, they're there to sit in on seminars where someone lectures them on how to, like, how to recognize Nazism and anti-Semitism. Mm. And also just how to understand that the most important thing, the most important part of your job is, like, fighting anti-Semitism. They're there to be brainwashed into, like, loving Jews in Israel, which is funny because...
The most important part of your job is destroying Israel and you're not doing it.
Right.
Damn it.
Right. Well, theoretically, the most important part of your job is protecting America. And how do you do that? Well, you destroy Israel. You have to destroy
completely.
Israel. Right. Like, there's no other option. So, yeah. Derek Chauvin should be kneeling on Israel. His knee should go
think
right.
About, like, think about, like, Price and Miller and all those fucking...
Faggots.
Cunts.
Yeah.
Just, like...
I searched Matthew
living,
Miller.
Just living to fucking serve Israel and get them out of this... Not even to get them out of this mess. It's like to let them, to help them keep getting away with this slaughter.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and like, you know, I was thinking about it today because, you know, I was listening to when I did my walk. I put on Mic Check, and when you get morally outraged and call them evil and you talk about this being a genocide, and it's like almost like even if they weren't doing that, I still hate Israel and want it destroyed.
Oh yeah, I do. Too. I mean, I'm like, who do you think you're talking to? I've always hated this country.
I don't want Israel to like be wiped off the map and Jews to be just utterly fucking scattered, or like, or basically, theoretically in Minecraft, like separated from this mortal coil. But
yeah,
it's not because they're committing a genocide in Gaza. It's just because they're Jews.
It's just part of it.
It's because of what they do.
It's just part of the whole package.
This is just what they're doing to insulate themselves to have their own little country. Like what they've done, what they've done to Europe, what they've done to us. You know, because I had been watching Oppenheimer, thinking about World War II, thinking about what you said, what you were
this
telling
is one
the story
of the most
about
latest,
Madison.
This is just
like what these people crime, have yeah. done to yeah. the entire world.
Right.
Like, I don't care if they were, like, being good neighbors to the Gazans. I still want Israel destroyed, and I want the Palestinians to have all that land back, because Israelis don't deserve a state. Jews don't deserve anything.
Right.
They don't
like,
deserve
this
to
didn't
exist.
Start with Palestine. Like, no. You know, this is Palestine is just the latest thing. And it's a great example. I mean, it's a good sort of introduction. Like, when you see what they do, because frankly, for me, it did start with Palestine, because I didn't know everything other than, and it starts that way for a lot of people, which is, I think, why Jews feel like they need to run some kind of interference on it, because, like, you know, ultimately that is something that Andrew Marantz found out, was that, oh, yes, I started as, like, a left-wing pro-Palestine anti-Israel activist, and now I'm just, like, a thoroughgoing anti-Semite, and that, like, I think is a piece of information you probably suspected. But maybe, you know, in any case, it did start that way for me because you see the hypocrisy and the lies and the just like the kind of lies that make you want to punch someone in the face.
Yeah.
Like you don't even want to counter it. You just want to stomp them into. They're so shitty that what they're saying, it's so fucking obnoxious. And they say it with like this little smirk on their face. And like you just want to stomp them. You just want to stomp them when they do this. Like you just it's like, fuck you. Like that's how I always felt about it. And, you know, I was almost like, dude, have they put this pro-Palestine movement, like, is it taking Prozac or something? Like, what's going on? Like, why does no one else just want to fucking, like, stomp these people? And that's why I eventually became where I am. And then you see everything throughout history, and it just becomes clear. It's like the way they treat Palestine is just an illustrative example of their wider ethic and morality, and they've been doing these sorts of things around the world for centuries.
I am literally having an argument with somebody on Twitter, and it's about the historical form of Israel and what they claimed about their enemies, what they claimed about the gods of their enemies. And I'm like, well, look at what Israelites are doing right now and ask yourself, do you think they were really telling the truth back in the Hebrew Bible when they described their enemies as being invested in child sacrifice and shit like that?
That's a good
question. I don't believe them. I don't believe them. I don't think that a bunch of Bronze Age Semitic savages like this have ever told the truth about anything.
Netanyahu's
even fucking invoking a previous genocide from their Bible. Like, you should do it again.
These people are the kings of projection.
Yeah.
If they're accusing an enemy of having done something, like, they're accusing of what, yeah. it's what they do.
If they're saying that Moloch is sacrificing children, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing that. Just like the whole, like, you know, they're like raping girls till their pelvises break and cutting off their tits. Like, that's what you want to do.
That's what they do.
That's what you want to do.
I guarantee you somewhere they're just doing that.
I want everyone to understand.
No, they're, like, they are doing it. They're doing it.
The stories that you hear about the Holocaust, those should scare you, not because, like, they're real, but because Jews came up with them, and that's what they will do to you if given the chance. Like, all their genocide stories, all their atrocities committed against them are all confessions by projection. Like, that's what they think of. That's what they want to do. Like, you ever hear a Holocaust story? And you hear new ones all the time where you're like, oh, my God, who would even think of that? It's like, well, a Jew thought of that. You know, we go through those Mengele stories, right? And we're like, wow, who the fuck would even come up with some shit like that? It's like, oh, like a sick, perverted Jew would come up with some shit. And they would do it to you if they could. They would do it to you. I mean, like I always said, you know, like you look at Curious Joel. You look at these settlements that Jews build in America, and you see how the people around them start to react against them. And then you see how the Jews like gather their collective power and their control of government to just stomp on these people. Again, they don't have it because it's America and things are kind of the way they are. They're not yet at the point where they can just fire like hellfire missiles from helicopters at the goys in like Orange County and Lakewood, New Jersey. But they absolutely would if they could. And even the niggers in Crown Heights. The niggers in Crown Heights, they actually have a militarized police force there that literally puts those niggers under occupation like the Palestinians are in Queens. But they can't really do that yet in Orange County or Rockland County or Lakewood. But they will. Eventually they will. Like, they will have, you know, just a militarized police force patrolling the Goyim that live in proximity to their shitty fucking Kike settlements. Just in case anybody, and if somebody does like an anti-Israel or says like an anti-Semitism, they will, you know, those people. I mean, look at the fucking way that the ideological police works. Look at what they're doing to Rob Rundo.
Oh, God.
I mean, yeah. Dude, like this guy.
Sam Melia.
Yeah, look what they're doing to Sam Melia. Sam Melia's in jail for 2 years. Rob was, again, I got to go into this for a second. I went into it last night, but I don't know if people listened. And I don't think Alex knows about this. So he was found, the government's case on, I think, February 17th was thrown out by the judge, saying, like, this is selective prosecution, throwing the case out. Then they say, well, let's keep him in jail. And the judge, Carmack Carney, was like, no, this guy's been through enough. Like, I'm not going to keep him in jail. I'm pending your appeal, right?
Yeah.
So they release him. But then what happens is they then appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court for a stay of release. Right, so they appealed the decision to release him and asked the Ninth Circuit Appeals Court for a stay of release, which was granted. However, this is something I didn't think of when I first told the story. He's already been released.
He's already out.
So the issue before the court...
You can't stay the thing that already happened.
Yeah, the issue before the court is moot because he's out. You can't stay a release when someone's been released. So what they should have applied for was an arrest warrant. And what they did was they used the stay of release to then get effectively a fraudulent arrest warrant. And they also told the judge that Rob was trying to flee, and that's why they had to get this arrest warrant, and he wasn't trying to flee. But I just object to the entire premise. Remember, Rob didn't flee the first time. He was free. He's allowed to go wherever he wants. If he wanted to leave for Europe this time, he would have been allowed to do that because likewise he was free. What the government is saying is, look, we know this man has not been convicted of a crime.
He's not even charged with anything.
He's not charged with anything right now. They don't have a valid reason to arrest him. He's a free person. And they're just like, well, put him in detention because we might win an appeal that we're going to file, and if we win it,
we charge him again.
To charge him again. Yeah. But it's like, there's no actual legal... There's no constitutional mechanism to just hold somebody in America because you might charge them.
And now that, but now
that's
it's,
insane.
You know what's a great trick of the system now is it like, well, now there's no precedent for what's happening to him, so I guess we better just leave him in jail. There's no precedent ACON. This is unmapped territory.
What happened was
we don't know what to do. Guess we better leave him in there to rot.
Presumably, and of course, then the other thing is if you're detained on like a stay of release order, not an arrest order, you don't get a bail hearing. You can't challenge.
He's not legitimately arrested.
How do you do it? Like, how do you challenge the fact that
that's
you're
what
in
I was
detention?
Thinking? I was listening to this. Like, how does he even? Like, who do you even petition? Like, he's just in jail under a status that doesn't exist.
What happened is that his attorney, the public defender, filed a habeas petition, which is literally, that's exactly what that is. Like, why are you holding this person?
And what do they say? Like, because.
Judge Carney got the habeas petition, and he ordered Rob released again.
And then they got to stay.
And then immediately stayed it.
Like, they got to stay on the release that doesn't, it's illegal.
This time they're like, this time it's like he's ordered release, but the release is now stayed. Like, because.
Why? He's released on a thing that's not valid.
Right.
Like, it doesn't make any sense, but they just get to do that.
It legitimately doesn't fucking make sense.
There's no precedent here.
He's just in jail.
Got to do whatever the government wants.
He's in jail, like, on spec.
On spec.
They're, like, holding him on spec. They're like, we think we might charge him in the future, so just keep him in jail just in case. Are you fucking kidding me?
Which means that is there any guideline for when they have to file their appeal by? Can they just not file their appeal?
I'm sure they're going to drag their fucking heels.
Now they just leave him there.
I'm sure they're going to drag their fucking heels on that. No, it's
absolutely outrageous.
It's unbelievable. It's unfucking believable. And this is at the same time. And it would be one thing if they were just doing this, but they're doing this at the same time that niggers with like 50 fucking arrests are let back out on the streets. Again and again and again. Huh. And this pretense that like, oh yeah, like the crime is going down. That's not.
Imagine if Donald
true.
Trump had pardoned him.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Imagine if Donald Trump had pardoned any like protesting supporter of his, or just like been granted a mass pardon to anyone like any John Doe, Jane Doe, yeah,
anyone that was wrapped up in.
Why not just do that? Why not just do a pot? Like, you know what really sucks about this, about the whole Trump thing, was like anytime you talk like that, one of the cowardly rightoids.
You can't
just
do that.
No, that's not even that. You can't do that. It's like, why were you expecting that?
Oh yeah.
Like, it's like, why are your expectations like? Because, well, first of all, my first answer is like, well, because I was told I would be tired of winning.
Yeah.
First of all. And second of all, why shouldn't I expect
a
political leader that has power to fucking do powerful things for our behalf? We're his constituents. Why is the expectation that you always have to knuckle under and do what the enemy wants? Oh, because this is a Jewish-controlled country and this is all a fucking scam.
My other question
and you, the person asking that, you've surrendered to it, but you just want to, like, you want to just, like, elbow your way around, like, the public space talking about it as if you're the ballsy one, guy who surrendered.
Well,
like, you're the tough guy. Hey, yeah, what do you think you are? Why don't you just fucking bend over and take it like I do, huh? How come you don't just, like, accept that you just could throw guys in jail just for nothing, just because? Yeah, that's what happens, pal. Fuck around and find out. This is what you voted for. It's not what you voted for, but it's who you voted for. What do you expect them to do something?
But then the funny thing about that is that it's like, I would ask that person, well, if Trump did this, would you be mad or stop supporting him? Like, what kind of MAGAtard, like, Trump would act? This is real. Like, I actually don't think amongst, like, the MAGA crowd that, forget about even pardoning the January 6th people, which would have been wildly popular with them, but pardoning like all the alt-right people, like pardoning everybody from Seville, pardoning all the guys like Jacob Goodwin and all those guys in jail from Seville still, like pardoning them, getting them out, getting Rob out. Would those people turn Donald Trump? They wouldn't have.
Why did he allow the prosecution of James Fields to continue?
Yeah, pardon James Fields.
But you don't have to follow the law. You can just unconstitutionally stop and start legal proceedings at your whim because you're the president.
Well,
you can also
pardon him legally. Like, that's his power.
But, I mean, they want to fall back on it's a state or a local. Like, I don't care. No, you know what you do?
That's bullshit. No.
Arrest everyone in the court. Just stop the proceedings. Like, you want, like,
oh, yeah.
President Donald Trump had carte blanche. Everyone would support him if he just went outside the rule of law and just crushed his enemies. That's what everyone wanted.
He could have done that, and he had, because the way he
said
the reason he could have done that was because the supporters could literally flood the streets if that didn't. Like, granted, that's the kind of shit you say happens in third world countries. Well, this is the fucking third world.
Charlottesville could have been, and I think it was envisioned by many, could have been the first time that such a show of force for President Trump, like carte blanche to do anything as a dictator. It could have been the first time that was, instead it became the last because he betrayed it. Because he threw it away because he's not. He was there to turn the Golan Heights into Israeli territory. Right. He was there to get a bunch of Shabbos Goy Arab nations to sign on Abraham Accords and move forward. And
when you
say, that's what he was there for.
Normalization with Saudi Arabia and shit.
Yeah, all that kind
of
stuff.
When you say, like, why did you expect? It's like, I expected that because I voted for him. We helped him get elected on our show. Right. Like, that's why I expected it. That's why I fucking expected it. But then it's like, what? You wouldn't have lost. Like, the person saying that, I assume maybe there are some that are so petty that, maybe, like, they would lose their personal support.
Speaking of our show helping getting him elected, another thing he could have done that I should have. Well, why do you expect this? His, I don't remember which functionary in the deep state. The guy that put in the new banking rules, like, in the last week.
That guy was a Jew, yeah, actually. The comptroller of the currency.
Is that what was comptroller? Well,
yeah.
I guess why do I expect him to not be a Jew? Like, there's the next thing.
I'm sorry.
But he puts those rules in. What does he put him in on, like, January 14th?
Yeah, at the very end, on the way out. No, why did you put him in at the beginning?
Put him in, basically, he put rules into place that would say that, like, these big banks, they wouldn't be able to use reputational risk as an excuse to shut people like us down from banking stuff.
Or just anybody down.
Or anybody. Yeah. Yeah. They would have to actually, you know, you wouldn't be able to do that anymore. You wouldn't be able to hide behind that. The reasoning being, like, JP Morgan Chase and like Wells Fargo, Bank of America. These are three like multi-bazillion dollar banks. They do not take a reputational hit that would result in loss of market share if they're allowing Kike Slammer 88 to have a merchant account online somewhere. There's just no reputational risk. It's just about. So he puts these rules in knowing that there was like a 45 or a 90 day comment period. And then the following Congress has to do whatever they got to ratify these rules into the record or something. And so the libtard, like the Joe Biden answer, is just like we just don't do it.
Yeah,
they don't take it up and vote it down. You just let that expire and the rule does it. Like, why not put those rules into place in 2017?
Right,
Donald Trump. When your supporters are already like, the only reason our credit cards weren't shut down sooner is because we were wily and we're smart and we set stuff up. But there were all kinds of people in the MAGA sphere, Proud Boys, blah blah blah, that were losing bank accounts.
Oh, dude, yeah, they were getting their private bank accounts.
Why didn't they put that rule in and have his Republican Congress ratify it right then and there? Why not? Oh, what do you think, you're going to expect something like that? You're gonna expect like a simple thing like banking rules being changed so that supporters of the president can collect funds? Either in business or just in regular fun. Why did he allow the total shutdown from the internet, the censorship, not just from platforms, but the ability to gather? Like, PayPal, just like the last time I got banned from PayPal, they just, I had a $1,000 balance. They just took it and told me I couldn't have it anymore.
Yeah, they're just like, yeah, we're taking
we're
it.
We're just, but why? And that was, even Donald like banks, Trump was in president when that happened.
Even banks don't do that shit.
No,
dude.
But Donald Trump was in president. And there's nothing I can do.
Yeah.
Why didn't he fix all this? Because he was there to fight for Israel.
Yeah.
Because he was there. Because you were not. You were just supposed to vote for him.
And frankly, that's
all it was.
That banking regulation was put in place. Now, it was a I could go through the fucking bureaucratic mishmash. It wasn't a law. It was a regulation. However, they could have passed a law to block it. Like, they could have. Congress could have passed a law to block it. They actually decided not to do it. But what happened is then whoever the Biden guy was just like let it sit.
Yeah, just let it sit.
He just never enacted it.
You don't have to take us in. It's not. There's no news stories about it. There's nothing because there's nothing on the record. There's just a regulation was put in by a Trump crank.
It briefly was in place. And the guy was a Jew. And I think the reason that he did this, people are like, well, why would a Jew do this? Well, the reason a Jew
was a Spurgy libertarian, wasn't he?
No, maybe. I don't know. I can't remember what his name was. I know he was Jewish. So the reason he would, of course, control of the currency is a Jew, right? Like, obviously.
Right.
The reason he would do this is because of things like Proud Boys getting their bank accounts taken. Because, like, MAGA sphere people, like, libtards legitimately, like, going overboard. It's the same reason they gave Twitter to Musk, right? It's one thing if they're like, okay, like, yeah, Nazis, fine. But then when it's actually this Jew gay op that is, you know, that if you're actually going to have, like, MAGA-tard people, because libtards and even some liberal Jews would legitimately just use this power of banking censorship to shut down, like, everything related to MAGA and Trump. And they wanted to make sure the MAGA movement could go forward, could make money, collect donations, and things like that, right? And they wanted to make sure that, like, Dan Bongino wants to start Rumble, and, like, that doesn't get hemmed up because of banking shit, right? That they don't, like, take away, like, Rumble's bank account, right? That's what they wanted to make sure was happening. And so eventually, I think they behind the scenes, they just came to some agreements about that. And then they're like, all right, well, we don't need this rule on the books because we don't want people, frankly, like us accessing it. And so they just let it go. But they also have taken the foot off the censorship machine, like in that way, significantly. And the MAGA movement has become, in the wake of that, the MAGA movement has become completely retarded.
Yeah.
And like not even really about immigration anymore. Like right now, because it's an election year, you see a lot of talk about this beaner that murdered this white girl down in Georgia and how he was an illegal immigrant and mm-hmm. his brother was also an illegal immigrant and stuff. And of course, that's terrible. But remember, that's also years ago that happened to Molly Tibbetts in Iowa, and the fucking farm that the beaner was employed on was owned by the brother of the state Republican, the state chair of the Republican Party. Yep. So it's just like, you know, like Republicans are in on this shit too. And they're only, frankly, like when I see this all over the New York Post and I see it all over Fox News and I see it all over.
Sven needs me to sign up for a paywall subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. Okay, Sven, I'm your number one guy. I'll do it.
Like right toy Twitter and stuff. And it's like, it's a horrible crime. We have been talking about this for 8 years, 10 years, more than that. Fucking hell, more than that. We are in our 11th year on this website now in 2024. So we've been talking about this forever. Republicans do it in an election year. It's an, I am sorry to like burst bubbles, but I feel like at this point people should have learned this lesson. Like Republicans are talking about this because it's an election year. Period. That's it. I'm sorry. Like it is. And yes, people still fucking hate immigration.
Yep.
People fucking hate it. And it's even getting so bad that like some libtards are like, should we maybe put the brakes on this? But Jews, do I don't think Jews want to do it. I think Jews are like, no, we're doing like things are bad for us now. So we're just doing like rapid tier like white replacement. Because frankly, Jews are not so worried about what beaners and niggers think about politics. Jews are actually more worried about, in terms of Zionism, they're more worried about white liberals. Like, all this appeals to the civil rights movement they're making, those are appeals to white liberals. It's not appeals to niggers. Niggers don't give a shit. Niggers don't care. And people are going to be gobsmacked with how quickly they get niggers waving Israeli flags. It's not going to be difficult for them to do it. Or just checked out. Anyway.
I was just going to say that the difference between us and a rightoid is having an attention span longer than a goldfish.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, just like, learning the lessons and remembering them. I mean, I feel like there's also people that, well, learn these lessons, remember them, and understand them, but are just like, well, the problem is that there's no, right now, you know, I just feel like I do better if I pretend like I haven't learned that lesson. They're like, or, you know, my grift doesn't get fucked up by, you know, I'm pretending I never learned that lesson, so I'll just keep.
I mean, maybe I'm just old now. Maybe it's just part of being old, but you start to see the same tricks over and over, and you're like, all right, I don't want to fall for that trick again. It's stupid.
Well, I think it's also
I've seen this season before.
I think it's just paying attention to politics as closely as we do, because a lot of people.
Same thing over and over again. It's just really.
A lot of people that check in and out only during election season, like they're not paying attention unless there's elections going on or something going on, presidential, big national stuff. And then they're like, oh, yeah, based anti-immigration, I don't like immigration, let's go. And they just forget because they're not checked in all the time. When you're checked into politics all the time is when you see the cycles and how it works. And it sucks.
It does suck.
It sucks. Oh, however, though, I would say this. People that listen to Rush Limbaugh all day, they're checked in all the time. Back in the day when they would.
They were checked in all the time. And it was much less retarded.
Yeah. He forced them to have to like address these
issues. He had a cogent like the narrative and worldview that he could share with them. Now, the problem was that they were, not that this is a problem, but it's like they're out of touch. They were
a consistent critic of immigration, right?
Yes, and but he was also, like, he was basically shepherding, like, that old, like, 30% of the Republican voter base, right? And so they were not, like, no one was listening to them, really, except for when they had to. So there was always... There was always a rhino. You know, a rhino was somebody that Rush Limbaugh that would go against Rush Limbaugh's policy proposals and whatnot. Like a Rush Limbaugh listener would take the wrong side of an issue.
Do you remember like that time?
It's never been more retarded than it is now, though. It's really
fucking bad.
You can watch like the cyclical stuff, but it has never been this retarded.
This is now very retarded. But do you remember that we played that audio at our show? I know where he was talking. I think it was like Charlemagne the God and somebody else. God. And it was right at the peak of, like, BLM shit. And he was just like,
"What do you people want?"
He was dumbfounded.
Me?
He's like, "What?
What would make you happy?
What can we do to make you happy?"
Well, you,
and I was just like
a year or two
exactly
later,
the wrong question.
Like a year or two later, you did what made them happy, Rush. You fucking died.
Yeah,
I mean that's the reality.
They should have just said. I mean, they were probably holding back from just saying that to you.
I was trying to read. I was reading a piece on remembering Limbaugh the other day on like Talkie Mag, and it was actually like a really shitty. It didn't hit what I wanted it to hit, but it's just like even the way the modern right remembers him is retarded and gay
Talkie
and stupid.
Mag should burn to the ground. Fuck that fucking rag. Yeah, that shit is so obnoxious. David Cole, fuck you.
Oh,
fucking
well,
I
wasn't reading.
He's like writing 50% of it now.
Yeah. Gavin McGinnis and David Cole. That's what like that.
David Cole like begging people to keep liking Israel or to stop. Well, no, you don't understand. Like it reflects poorly on you if you don't like Jews. Like, oh, geez, well, in that case, I better stop it right now. I don't want to be stuck.
We almost had Cole on this show. I briefly corresponded with him over Facebook years and years when we first started. But see, when we first started,
we were corralable.
They thought that we were, and so we got a lot.
Well, that's
attention.
Why we're so blackballed everywhere. It's like, no, we're not corralable, and we're not going
right,
to. We're not going to do the Aaron Bushnell copes, right? We're going to say, no, that guy's a hero, and you're a faggot. Right, like they want people that are corralable on that issue. They want
as much as we were against blacks and stuff like that. Like that doesn't they don't care about that. Like
no,
they're
they
fine.
Like
they're fine to recruit people that talk shit.
We
on
can work with
beaners and immigration.
Talk
and
about beaners and niggers and vote Republican.
They're fine with that. In fact, they like it. And so they saw us, and even some criticism of Jews. I mean, and increasingly they've had to tolerate more and more criticism of Jews.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Cole, like, keyed into us, and he was, because somebody sent it to him. I think it was actually fucking Colin Liddell, that fucking faggot. But
I don't think anyone knows who you mean.
Yeah, no one even knows who that is. Doesn't matter. Anyway, whatever. I talked to him briefly. He said he thought our show was absolutely fucking hilarious, and he didn't mind. He didn't even mind, like, making fun of Jews somewhat. But, like, it wouldn't have been terrible to have him on.
I mean, you're going to talk trash on Jews until you like put a bunch of them in the White House.
Yeah, you're talking trash on Jews.
That's what this whole work was.
Right,
like
right,
that,
right,
your 2016
right.
energy was you were helping put a bunch of Jews in the White House.
Yeah,
that's what it was. It's so sad. Really, looking back on it, it's like they made. They recruited
Jared
all of
Kushner,
us.
Yeah.
They recruited all of us to elect Jared Kushner, and then they convinced us that we were actually winning by doing that. Well, no, we all just like lost, and they could have managed it so much better. Oh my god, I was always like, we can get things out of this administration, and it's like, wow, they really had an immune system to make sure we got nothing out of it, nothing less.
That's
than
what's
nothing.
Remarkable about it. That's
they
what's
didn't
actually
even,
remarkable.
They didn't put any like there was no good. Like, I mean. There was no good faith anything out of that administration to keep anybody on board. And when they lost us, they were just good to lose us. I don't know, but they didn't lose people near us. Like I remember,
because they were
like Daily Stormer and like Fuentes like stayed on the Trump train when we were off it. I remember when I heard that they were still out, I was like, wait, what? Are you serious?
Yeah,
like, I remember there was a quote of like Anglin. They quoted Anglin somewhere saying like this is the kind of like he was commenting on something Trump did or said, like this is the kind of white supremacy that we voted for and what you expect out of him. And I was like, that's a sarcastic, like funny quote. And then I found out like he meant that in earnest. Like he was being like over the top with rhetoric to be funny, but he actually meant like whatever gay thing Trump was saying that wasn't real
was what
we voted for. And I'm just like, holy shit.
He had some theory because he got a lot of media attention early until they started completely just like everybody else literally totally ignoring that website.
Yeah.
He had some theory that if he would vocally come out in support of something, this would like trigger some backlash effect whereby the libtard media and such would go out of control saying Trump is a Nazi and this would make Trump supporters like Nazis. But what would actually happen is not necessarily Trump, but somebody that was like speaking for him or the Trump movement would vigorously disavow Nazis. Call the libtards unprincipled for calling them Nazis when libtards were the real Nazis. It would just continue that cycle and Anglin would just be shunted to the side. Like that's what really happened. And so it didn't work. Like I understood the theory. It was sort of like trying to play off Trump's thing of like get the libtard media to attack me, get earned media, and then people will sympathize with me because they're so shitty. The thing is there's a Jew media operation that is supporting that. like, in order for you to manipulate the conversation at that level, like,
you would have to have the Trump administration actually be in cahoots with you and backing you up on that.
And
they were not. They're in fact with the Jew media on the other side destroying you.
So there is like a Jew media trick being played where like the libtard outrage is, I think, played directly into in order to benefit Trump. At the very least, he's doing it. Whether they know that they're being tricked or not, I don't know. They might. But like, it seems on some level like everybody just likes this because it activates libtards too. Like, they get activated, and then people get activated by them being activated because when they're activated, they're so shitty. And so it just works, but then, like, nothing happens. And in terms of the idea of, like, let's get something out of supporting one side of the political spectrum, I mean, you can look at the Palestinians. Like, their attempts to appeal to, like, American leftists, what has that gotten them? They're being genocided right now. You know, like the movement, the Palestinian movement in the West, like they're policing people for anti-Semitism. The like everything you've done, it just like stalls, you know, letting Jews run your fucking organizations, policing them for anti-Semites, making it all about peace instead of about like Palestine making real gains. Like, it's just because right now the ceasefire thing right now is Jews that are like, restrain the retarded Jews from committing more war crimes because we're losing the PR war. Like, let's have a, like, they're basically begging, like, let's have a 3 month.
John Stewart did have to call it war crimes, what,
like,
they were doing.
Yeah, like, let's have not a 3 month ceasefire to get this shit out of the fucking headlines. Right? Like,
we need a ceasefire because we need time for, like, Congress to put through the next aid package rearm. We need a reloading ceasefire.
Yeah, sure, they need that. I mean, ceasefire does benefit Israel because, absolutely reload and reman. They say that Hamas will do that, but Israel will also do that. And additionally, it gets the daily fucking atrocity that Israel is going to commit like out of the fucking headlines. And the Jews are like, well, the right-wing Jews, the crazy Jews, the lunatic Jews, the genocide, well, they're all lunatic genociders. It's just some are a little bit more forced. The high time preference, the jignats, if we will. Their thing is like, no, any stop will set us back, and we want to just get this done as quick as possible. The lower time preference Jews are like, well, the problem is getting this done as quick as possible is going, we're seriously losing the propaganda war here, and we don't know what the outcome of that will be. So let's have, it's literally like a ceasefire. They're calling for a ceasefire in the propaganda war as well that they're losing. That's what these Jews, that's what these peace now fucking kikes are doing. They're like, can Jews stop making Jews look bad by committing atrocities? Like, we need to space the atrocities out. Like I was saying, like the New York
space
Times,
the atrocities,
the
out.
New York Times thing, right? Like the New York Times thing of like, is there was two things that happened roughly in the same place.
I mean, the show title is like "Space to Destroy," like "Space to Atrocitize."
Yes.
Like,
yeah. No.
Is "Atrocitize" a work? I'm just
something like that. Yeah. Why not? Right.
I'm just going to put "space to atrocitize" in the show title contender section of my notes.
Like that New York Times shit they do where they use like the passive language or they pretend like it's just a coincidence that like Israeli gunfire and some people ran, you know, like that kind
just start
of shit.
They should just start announcing that like Palestinians like die of lead poisoning.
Right, right. I mean, see, the problem is with that trick is if you have to only do that like every 3 to 6 months, it can work. If you're doing it every day, it gets conspicuous. People start seeing it. Like, everybody's talking about this. Now, they don't stop doing it because it's their editorial standard. Like, that's their editorial standard on how they produce headlines. But they now have to produce one every day.
Yeah.
So when you see it every day, it's like, oh, they're doing it again. If you see it like every few months, or even every year or so, you know, you get to see, then it's very different, right? I don't know what their one is today.
Deaths of Gazans desperate for food prompt fresh calls for ceasefire.
See? Right, yeah, there it is.
But it's like with that headline, like ceasefire, what do you mean no one's firing according to this headline?
Yeah,
there's no firing.
Why would deaths? Who's,
what firing needs to cease? They just died.
Yeah, they just fell over. They died.
They're
right?
Exhausted from sitting in line for food.
Again, see, the problem is like you don't want to have to, every single fucking day, the kikes at the New York Times have to produce another one of these shitty passive voice headlines, and people are catching on to the trick. They're like, I see what you're doing, Jews.
Trump says little on Gaza, nothing about what he'd do differently. Trump's hands-off approach to the conflict reflects his profound any interventionist shift he has brought about.
No. It's because he doesn't. It's actually because, honestly, I really think that and I'm not joking, I think they're not having Trump go like blood-curdling, bloodthirsty on it because it does that didn't benefit any other Republicans.
This passive voice conversation goes a long way back, too.
Yeah.
Literally, any time there's something happening in the Middle East involving Israel, they always use the passive voice.
Yes. And like I said, the thing is, it goes back a long time. Man. They've been doing it for a long time, but you don't have to. You don't have the media watchdog groups like the leftist media watchdogs calling attention to it every single fucking day, the way you do now, right? Like every day, there's another way to critique and attack the New York Times because it's a pretty it's like the kind of fucking like Prozac laden coverage that would totally work on my parents. But I don't think that it would work on my parents now. I think my parents are probably like very concerned and up in arms about the Gaza genocide now because they generally probably find that kind of thing horrifying.
The American media vocabulary use of passive voice exacerbate Israeli-Palestinian imbalance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even that is like a passive voice like framing back the imbalance.
Check out the date on it, though. That's from 2001.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Dude, yes, this has been going on for a long time. But again, like we now have in the 20 years between then and now, they probably had to deploy it as many times as they've had to do in the last like 4 months. So, you know, the trick, you know, it can work.
When Israelis are killed, they've been murdered.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Note, for example, when Palestinian civilians are killed by Israeli soldiers, they are, quote, caught in a crossfire. It's the Uri Vaughn fans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Caught in the crossfire. I'm about to lose my state.
What's another one like desert flood? It's like desert flood of Israeli blood. That's what I'd like to see.
You didn't.
Or no, desert.
You didn't like my joke there.
I wasn't really listening. I was trying to think.
Caught in the cross. I'm about to lose my state.
Oh, okay, there you go.
Not my mind.
Oh, it's Texas flood, not desert flood.
Anyway, I think that's the right.
My bad. My bad. When Israelis are killed, they've been murdered. Bystanders refers to Palestinians killed by Israeli soldiers during crossfire with Palestinian terrorists, while the word victims is used exclusively to describe Israeli Jews killed. Well, let's be honest here. Victims is used for any Jew anytime in the world, no matter what he's going through.
Even
he's
like a victim. Jew soldier is a victim.
Like, yeah, he could be shooting someone in the back of the head right now, and he's the victim of something. He's like the victim of this horrible... Oh, look at this horrible, violent act that I have to commit in order to defend Israel and have my right to exist. I'm the real victim here. Oh God!
But see, the funny thing is, yesterday they didn't even have crossfire because no Palestinians were firing. So it was just amid gunfire.
Well, maybe they crossed the people died. Yeah, just gunfire.
Amid Israeli troops' gunfire.
Oh, here's a good one.
An unrelated death.
Brutal, cowardly, and ghastly are adjectives used to describe Palestinian attacks on Israelis. While the Israelis apparently act only with self restraint.
No, it's definitely true. They definitely say that, yeah.
If helicopters and tanks are used against a Palestinian civilian population, the Israeli military action is sometimes called excessive use of force. When U.S. Secretary of State, Colin Powell, remember him, urgently phoned Israel after it sent troops and armor across the border, demolishing Palestinian homes and buildings, Israel was quick to respond that it was only a limited engagement. Rarely do we hear such actions referred to as Israeli acts of aggression. That's what that is. That's an act of aggression.
Oh, here we go. So, U.S. blocked Security Council motion blaming Israel for deadly Gaza aid convoy incident that happened today.
Look, what were you expecting? Were you expecting? Well, I mean, you need to just lower your expectations.
No, this is exactly what I was expecting, frankly. Also, here we go. Here's another exactly what I'm saying. Biden's doing kayfabe, too. As pressure mounts, Biden remains unwilling to condition U.S. aid to Israel.
Well, the condition is, can you get this done?
The condition
can you just
is like
win already?
How quickly? That stuff is like
mounts.
Can you get your Jew media to stop criticizing me over this and just get this done, Israel? Please.
Right, but it's the Jew media is basically running cover for like people. Like they're doing it to keep people. It's like Jon Stewart's doing what he's doing to kind of like entertain and distract the people that you know one segment of the population that will be mad. But I do – one thing I want to say. I think it's interesting that Trump is not out there because every other Republican candidate that went out there and basically performed like analingus on Israel during the debates is gone. Like Nikki Haley is, I think, still running. I don't know if she's dropped out yet. She's going to lose though. She can't win and she lost badly in her own state. It's what But Trump hasn't really said much and I think that's smarter because he's kind of again, Trump is the smartest politician in America. Like, he is staying kind of out of this because I don't think it will benefit him to go out and go absolutely shilling on the side of Israel. And the few times he mentions it, all he says is, "I would settle this quickly," and leaves it totally ambiguous, which invites criticism from both sides on it.
Well, he's focusing on his own like negotiation acumen there.
Yeah, that's what he always says.
If I was in power, this Ukraine war
wouldn't happen. I would be able to settle it. Now, he doesn't explain how, and that drives people that are familiar with the intractable nature of both conflicts crazy because of draw, but it's good enough for his voters
because everybody's an idiot,
right? They're stupid. But what they don't want to hear is that he would take either side and drag us into a war,
right?
That's what the people voting for him are dumb and like uninformed on these issues. They don't understand maybe the nature of these conflicts and how stupid it is for him to say me is one guy. I can come in and say that this is ridiculous. I would sit everybody down. It's insane, right?
We cross each other's table.
But the funny thing is,
we draw up a plan. I just make this guy stop.
It's the best get out of jail free card on this he can take because his people like him. They like the idea of him as the great negotiator. They don't like the idea of dragging America into more wars, and so he says that instead of taking. Like, you would think he'd be out there kissing Israel's ass.
Hey, what's up? You know you're only hearing half of the show, right? And it's being indiscriminately interrupted with these sales pitches because we just don't know how else to get your attention and get you over there. Our website, our podcasts are 100% listener funded. They are funded with your subscription. So if you could please do that, help us out. therightstuff.biz/paywall. Thanks.
You're
cutting people's breasts off. Breasts are beautiful. Shouldn't cut them off. Leave them where they find them.
Right.
This is crazy. It's crazy. Right. We have to stop.
Right.
Everyone stop.
And so he's just going on like, and he says about the Hamas thing, the few times he's talked about it, if I were still president, that never would have happened.
They wouldn't have dared. I'd be there.
And so it's like,
I'd be there with my pepperoni pizza, with the little pepperoni pizzas on top of it. And I'd be like, listen, stop this madness. You're not paragliding into this rave. I'm going to go roll with these chicks now.
Yeah, right. And so that's actually interesting because that also shows that they're not confident that, you know,
I'm here in front of this gay sex shop. With my friend Mike Rapport.
Sex store.
Right in front of it.
Do you like some kind of sex store?
You're not going to find like this in Gaza, nowhere. It's terrible.
Powerful sex stores. Powerful, big, beautiful, powerful sex stores in Tel Aviv. Amazing.
We don't have big, powerful bank regulations at all.
I said, like, this is almost like a Trump sex store. It's amazing. It's huge. Beautiful. Yeah. Anyway, so, but if you think about it, I think that is significant. Like, because there is the younger people that they want, and they're going to need some young people voting for Trump. Frankly, they're not going to be animated by him talking like, yeah, we love Israel. They're going to be like,
so true.
That's gay. That's fucking gay. One thing that's for sure is like, it doesn't matter what side of the political spectrum you fall on, right or left, like, there's no support from young people for Israel. It's fucking cringy.
It's very low.
If you go out there and start talking, like, it's like cringy as fuck, and you get made fun of. And you should. And it doesn't matter if you go out and you also make fun of trannies or you say you don't like immigrants. It's like, no, there's someone you're forgetting. And that's, or you're actively supporting them. Like, you literally immediately discredit yourself if you go out there and do it. I mean, fuck, like, Elijah Schaefer is and Candace Owens are kind of like doing it right. Like, they have to. Not that I'm like fans of them, but they're being critical of Israel when they bring the topic up, and that is why they are earning accolades and fans, and they're popular, right? Like, Ben Shapiro isn't popular with young people. Ben Shapiro is popular with people over the age of 6,000.
They love him.
Yeah, it's just old people. It's old people that want to believe in the cat box or the litter box.
Yeah, it's that barber I talked to. Yeah. Loves him. Oh my god,
they can't pretend. Yes, so.
They think that he's like a family values conservative is what happens because
he's playing. That's what he's playing.
Yeah,
on TV.
He has a long track record of being against gay shit and tranny shit. But it's just like,
well, he's literally like a younger Dennis Prager. I mean, it's the same kind of appeal that's being made. Except Dennis Prager, I think, even does it better because he at least does like old guy sitting in front of a fire. He doesn't look like a little
with
weasel
the stupid
either.
Dog and shit. Yeah,
yeah, like Shapiro looks like a weaselly little fucking rat kike.
He looks like some kind of cartoon villain.
He genetically looks like he was born in a tunnel.
Like with the the eyebrows and the 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah, I mean, he looks ridiculous.
I see Twitter accounts that call themselves Tunnel Jew, like unironically. Like, just think it's funny.
But wait, are they making fun of Jews? Or are they saying that they're a Tunnel Jew? Have Jews started to own the tunnel?
They call themselves Tunnel Jew.
Oh, yeah. Okay,
the Tunnel Jew, and then like the three parentheses are around it. Like they're trying to own all those.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, do it. Like, own that shit. Like, it's so funny. The three parentheses are fucking still everywhere on Twitter. You still see it all the time.
The one thing I've noticed, though, is that there is, like, some reluctance, even those circles, around just admitting that you're a Zionist, because they know it's a bad look.
Yeah. Well, they want, like, again, there's so many different ways they need to have it, but it's the fact that they need to have it all these different ways is because they can't, like, people just hate fucking Zionism. They just don't like it. It's obnoxious. And the fact that
it's like, wait, you want to do what?
The fact that they also can't get right winger. The fact that heavily politicized right wingers and younger politicized right, they can't get them. Like, the arguments that they make, it's like rehashed shit to appeal to that dying boomer conservative class. And that's the only, and it's funny because they try and craft talking points for other groups. And it doesn't work. Like, it fails, and they inevitably just, like, fall back to the same things that appeal to literally the group of people in America that are dying out the fastest.
And when that fails, like, these politically aware right-wingers that are trying to beg you not to be anti-Zionist, they have to fall all the way back to, yeah, these people are in charge. You can't go against them. What are you, crazy? It's an uphill battle.
It's like, well,
and anyone who doesn't have any act of defiance, melt like, the guy got what he deserved. What was he thinking?
Right.
And that's the final.
The appeal to younger people is not to supporting Israel. It's an appeal to Zionism.
That kind of attitude was sort of mislabeled a long time ago as like irony bros. It was just Ziony bros.
Ziony bros. Oh my God.
The Ziony bros.
That is fucking good. That might be the show title.
You think so?
Ziony bros? I think so, yeah. Because what they do, though, is they can't do a positive appeal. They have to do an appeal to nihilism. Or just to, like, LOL, caring about brown people, blah.
There's consequences for your revolutionary thought. You shouldn't have them. You shouldn't do those thoughts, because, oh, my God.
Yeah.
The worst thing you can do is give up something.
Yeah.
The worst thing you do is, like, theoretically face consequences for doing the right thing. You just do the wrong thing all the time. Be like me. I'm a Zionist, bro.
Jews are trying to pretend like there's a lot of people at Navalny's funeral by using like tight end.
Yeah, I saw that as well. Like thousands. I'm like, I don't think thousands.
Well, thousands. I see in this picture a couple dozen, and it's a tight end shot.
It's like, very tight.
I'm sure they might have been able to break it down. Maybe.
I don't know how many people were there. That's good. I mean, it is a CIA operation, so they could have. No,
they managed to get. Well, let me say this. So the last time they did national protests around Russia in favor of Navalny, they got 14,000 people nationwide out. Around all of Russia. And before that, they had
a two dozen in like Vladivostok, and then
I don't think I got anyone in Vladivostok. That's like
those are all gooks, right?
Yeah, but I would say this: before that, the other protests that they did about Navalny, they got about 50,000, and then the next ones they only got 14. And the reason was because the protests where they got 50,000 people were. They were said that they were banned, but they weren't banned. They never sought permits, and so they were doing illegal protests. However, you can protest in Russia if you get a permit. Like, you just have to ask for a permit, and they've been given permits before. So they just made them illegal on purpose by not getting a permit, right? And because they wanted people arrested, like they wanted the video of the Russian police arresting them. And, of course, the Russian police understood this, and they were probably told by the Kremlin, like, just let these people do their shit. Just keep an eye on it. But, like, don't go in, you know, clubs blazing or whatever. Don't go in, like, Pussy Riot style and, like, whip that bitch, which was great. That was the other thing. People loved that.
Yeah.
When that Cossack went in and whipped the Pussy Riot bitch with that fucking leather cord, that was great. Everybody was, like, cheering worldwide for that. That's the problem that Zog has. So what happened was then it was also a fraudulent protest because it was supposedly the protesters because Navalny, and this again shows you that Jews understand the power of acts of self-sacrifice for political causes because they were saying that Navalny was doing a hunger strike. And they were also saying the Russians were denying him a physician. Neither of those things were true. The Russians had a physician that was seeing Navalny, and they had actually organized with Navalny an IV nutrient drip while he wasn't taking solid foods for his phony staged hunger strike.
Right.
And so they got like 50,000 people out to protest that he wasn't being given medical attention during his hunger strike. And then it came out that he was, and it wasn't even a real hunger strike because he was getting nutrients through a tube. And so then the next time they did a protest,
he was hungry.
I'm sure he wanted to eat solids, but that's not the point, right? Like, it's not Bobby Sands fucking died in jail, right? In, like, was it 1978? I think that happened. Yeah, in 1978, I think Bobby Sands died in jail of hunger strike, you know, for the Irish Republic, right? So it's a very different thing. That was a that's another thing. That's something I said the other night. Like, if, and again, I'm not saying, oh, Aaron Bushnell's Bobby Sands. If people revere Bobby Sands, maybe whatever. My point is, Bobby Sands didn't die for nothing, right? Yep. Like that wasn't something that was just like throw away, doesn't mean anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Navalny wanted to do like a phony Bobby Sands. That pisses people off. That's the other power. But when you do it and it's fake, that really makes people mad. So he couldn't get more than 14,000 the next time they tried. So like 36,000 people were like, fuck it. I'm not doing this shit anymore. Like, that was fake. I got literally can't get fooled again by this fucking literal shyster. So, yeah, who knows how many people they can get out for this bullshit now, but whatever. I'm sorry if like a Zog agent, a CIA agent dies in a gulag. Like, I'm either my emotions range from like unconcerned to joy. That's like the range of things I'm gonna feel about that. Like, either I don't care or I'm happy. Anyway,
I'm not really is anybody motivated by this Navalny stuff? Like,
no one that's not like a Jewish person or a think or a functionary in DC or a think tank or something. No one is doing that.
I don't see it. Oh, this is for you. For you is not good. You got to go to trending, go to the actual trends. Yeah, I don't see it on
the. Well, they keep trying to push Zio shit on me, like in my For You section.
Remember the old days when we had Google like AdWords on the old forum? Like, we would get. We talked about Israel and Jews so much that you'd get these ads for like vacationing in Israel. Like, would be part of the automated whatever, because obviously they're scanning content for keywords on the on the forum, so they start putting vacation in Israel.
Oh, that was amazing!
There.
That was so good.
So that's probably why you're seeing like Zio shows, because you're talking about Zio shows.
No. Well, they probably also understand that they probably is more sophisticated at this than that by this point. Like the stuff they have scanning. So yeah, they're sending me. They see what I'm posting and they're sending me like counter narratives. Yeah. Absolutely.
ETF in Brazil. What does that mean? Is Bitcoin going Brazilian? Or are they having a...
Possibly.
I don't see anything about... I don't see anything in the news trends about Navalny.
Nobody cares. It's on the top of the New York Times, which tells you, like, only Jews care about it.
Because that's what I want to... You know, you see what... The popularity that Putin has, how much he wins his elections by...
Yeah, it's not. It's
you can't really,
not
you can't really
people.
Frame this like there's a big popular opposition leader. Like, it's not there. What is like, and also Navalny. It's just the CIA. Just shut up.
That's not thousands of people, dude.
No, that's a very small. If there were thousands of people, there would be a gigantic like overhead fucking.
Yeah, they don't. The fact they're not showing you overhead.
There's a few people there.
I mean, the church is packed, but it's not that big of a church. It's like, look. You would be happy to have that many people at your funeral when you died, but again, it's not. A lot of these people are like government, like fucking CIA agents being told to go there, so, or just total like libtards that are in on like something. But yeah,
I hope Putin rounds all those peoples up and investigates them.
He probably won't, because it really for him. The other thing is, for him, he can just go hands off, because this is already like a wildly unpopular thing in Russia. So it makes
and he's
you,
dead.
And he's dead. And from the perspective of a smart politician like Putin, let the unpopular opposition like flail about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's let them flail about, because 80% of the country hates them. So go ahead, like, make idiots of yourself, like run around slapping yourself in the face, punch yourself in the balls, like whatever, like just, you know.
Now the CIA's got to find another resistance. Yeah, like
he could just let it go.
Set up a new one.
And then they're like, oh, Putin the tyrant. It's like, no, I'm letting these people do what they want. Just, nobody gives a fuck. Everyone hates them. What do you want me to do? It's not, you know, I'm not oppressing them. Just let them do it. But, yeah. Anyway.
Chinese people on Twitter. Oh, well. I guess let's just take a break. It's a little early, but.
Oh, it is? I felt like we did.
Eh. We, yeah. You know, we're only 14 minutes over what we're supposed to do instead of being like 20 minutes or 25 minutes. Wow.
Typically, once we hit like this time period, I'm like, that's fine.
I'm hungry.
Do we want to talk in the second hour about white girls dancing nigger music? Because apparently that's all anybody wants to talk about.
Do you want lunch?
I have a very unique take. We could redo it.
Oh, shit, Shford had a take on it. All right.
All right. Well, you can tell your take on it.
I don't have a take.
There's not much to take.
I don't have a take about people
dancing. There's really just not much to say about it other than just looking at the reactions of other people and what they are trying to say about it.
Well, at second 25, my take on it was at the 25-second mark, someone yells nigger.
Yeah, I heard that. That was funny.
It's pretty unmistakable. That was what I thought was interesting.
I just assume that it's like if someone's complaining about white girls like dancing and their thing is like bring about degeneracy, it's just like, okay, incel.
Well, that's what they're complaining about, people saying.
I'm sure that's what they're complaining about.
But I'm not even saying, okay,
incel. I don't say that as, like, a pejorative. If you, like, generally, you've been taken in by that PSYOP and you identify as an incel, and you're just in that world now, and that's just
how
you
think. Have you seen the video?
No, I haven't seen the video.
Well, dancing in nigger beats.
Okay, that's what people dance to. Welcome to America.
Yeah, that's kind of my
view. I mean, I wish they were dancing to, like...
There's something else. Slayer. There's something weird about it.
Slayer's
though,
reuniting. So. Maybe they'll dance to Slayer next.
There is something like weird about it. There is like a strange video, but like whatever, we can watch it. We'll show it to you.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just one of these.
Well, what's weird is everybody is fucking white. Like everybody
is
white.
Video?
I don't
where
know. That was my question.
You don't really know.
Was another take I had. I was like, wait, where is this happening? That everybody that's dancing to beats. It's at a gas station too, which is weird. It's strange. I don't understand.
Is this some kind of like AI thing?
I feel like it's something maybe from a TV commercial or something like that. It's like
I just want to do this thing. If you're on the internet talking about it, I'm just going to say like all your takes are wrong and you're gay.
This is
bait. So I'm going to bait you back.
I already took the bait, but
I know.
Okay, my thing was like it's funny that someone yells nigger. Listen,
that was funny. I'm surprised. I thought that's what the controversy was about.
No, that had
nothing.
And
then you went into it. I was like, wait, there's, so we're not talking. Someone clearly yelled nigger, and no one. That's not.
Still listening to this version of the Daily Showa? Still haven't subscribed? Please go over to therightstuff.biz/paywall, grab a subscription, and you won't be interrupted with these sales pitches ever again.
Well, I said, of course, someone yelled nigger. It's an all white dance party.
Guess what they were doing afterwards later? Like, yeah, I know something you've never done and probably never will.
But I don't think that's even...
But that's what people were saying, right? That's what I heard you say.
A couple people were saying that. I don't know.
I was under the impression that was the widespread like thing. That's why I was trashing talking it.
The widespread thing is just like fall of Western man shit, like that kind of crap. And I'm just
fucking late to that party.
I was
going to say, man, like you were so late.
You're just
so
like,
late. But no one, it's not like this is the first time any of these people have said this, though, either. So it's not like they're late. Yeah. It's just like another thing. Like, you know, it's whatever. I get why you look at it and you're like, I don't like that. But again,
I just don't care.
Well,
I'm fucking hungry.
Same.
So we'll be back, hopefully, with a Merchant Minute.
You are listening to the Daily Sewer.